welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Gather round. Right, hello everyone. Welcome to episode 310 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, slightly sniffly Edward Lamb, and my good pal Sean Orford. You alright, Sean?
I'm good. You're a collection of germs and bacteria.
Well, aren't we all? Love you too. Yeah, hopefully people can tell from my voice. All the people I've cancelled meetings on in the last couple of days, they can tell now that it's it is in fact. I'm not just making it up. I'm not just trying to skip meetings. I'm a bit under the weather.
It's going to be a blues singer.
But I get to work from home for a couple of days and enjoy this lovely weather and have lunch in the garden and all that. It's nice out there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Except, should I shut the doors? Can you hear that? Someone switched on a
lawnmower or something.
Machinery, right as we've hit record. We'll carry on. It'll be fine, won't it?
It's life.
We've got a lot to talk about today. We're actually talking about emotions and whether it's all right to show your emotions or not, or why we're not very good at it in the UK and, well, elsewhere.
Yeah.
There's a few other things cropped up we'll talk about shortly. Liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. All the show notes and links from this episode and all previous episodes online. Do sign up to the mailing list so you get your free meditation files. Discount code for the book, Live in the Present. It'll change your life. Should we get cracking?
I'd crack on if I was you.
What have you been up to, Sean? What's new?
I've been making bread. I've been experimenting with salt. This may sound mad, but I've discovered there's different salts in different places. Tastes completely different. So I now have salts from the Himalayas.
Pink. It's quite trendy, pink Himalayan salt, isn't it? I see that around.
It can be very useful.
Pink salt, yeah.
Pink salt. I had some salt from Brittany, which is quite grey. It was quite an odd colour, sea salt, which I used last week in the bread. And some people said it tasted funny, it tasted a bit salty, but you reckon it was okay?
Yeah. So you've brought me another loaf today. What salt is in this one?
That's got Anglesey sea salt.
Wow, okay. So you become a connoisseur. Can you tell the difference between salts?
Yeah, yeah. The salt really changes the flavour of the bread.
Wow.
I have a salt which I'm waiting to try. I need to get the right flour to do it. But it's a truffle. It's sea and truffle. Sea salt and truffle.
I was bought this big grinder of salt with some other herbs and stuff in it. And I just put it on everything. I just love it. It's got something a bit spicy in it too, which Bethan's not so keen on, but I just love it, man. I just crack it into everything.
The flavours,
It's incredible. Brilliant. We love salt, but we're not talking about salt today. Before we come on to our main topic, it is actually Mental Health Awareness Week, as I speak, between like the 13th and the 17th of May. The focus is body image. So we might talk about that next week, actually. My good friend Tanya Leary, a colleague of mine, she was on Radio City yesterday talking about body image and stuff, so maybe we can try and coax her to come back on the show. She was on a while ago talking about kind of maternal mental health, which she's been doing some other really good work on as well. And also Jeremy Kyle has been axed, hasn't it?
So do you see that as a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, the show is pretty awful. You know, when it's on and when I'm working from home, and if I happen to come across it, I would used to kind of watch it. Not recently, but I went through a little stage of watching this show. My issue with stopping it and banning it, because this guy has killed himself. He was on the show, I believe, partly because of the pressure he was under from all the kind of the tactics they use on the show, which are not healthy. But the show is horrible, it's rubbish. Jeremy Kyle is a bit of a knobhead. He's feeding. That show feeds an appetite amongst all of us, all the people that watch it. So my concern is, like when we, you know, there's been a few incidents of racial abuse from football fans in stadiums recently.
Yeah.
And the instinct is to ban them from football matches, which is cool, okay. Mm. But that's not actually fixing the problem of that person being racist, is it?
No.
So the same with this thing. The show's gone away, okay, cool. But the actual problem wasn't the show. It was, if the show had been on and no one had watched it, it would have gone away much quicker. The problem is that it was on and everyone or lots of people watched it.
But the thing for me is that people have this negative bias where people are attracted towards negativity and bad stories. It's like none of the good stories on the news make it. All the bad stories are right there on the headline.
Right.
You know? And lots of good things are happening in life. And I don't know the background to this. I know that someone's killed themselves. And I don't know whether that happened because of the show and what happened to them on the show. But one of the things that I do know from the work I do is that if someone is set on suicide, it doesn't matter what you do, they're going to do it anyway.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know the realities of it.
No, I mean, I've seen a few interviews from people that were in the audience in that particular episode saying that the man was clearly like unwell and was being taken advantage of. I don't know. But yeah, like I say, I think the main issue is that we have this demand in society for seeing people being kind of humiliated. It's kind of strange.
But that's like bear baiting. It's like people going and watching the hangings or watching people being guillotined. It's all that kind of stuff. It's all there going on.
Yep.
You know, and I'm sure that the guillotine or the hanging was a good day out for some people back along. And I'm sure that those things do still titillate people and do get them excited. They do.
Yeah, we need to. We'll invest a whole episode on that topic in the coming weeks, maybe, because we could go on about that forever.
Yeah.
We're talking about emotions today, aren't we?
Well,
I'm going to go get a glass of water. So
okay.
You tell us why.
Well, yeah,
why you want to talk about this?
Water, yeah. This episode here was inspired for me by the amount of people I've been working with lately, both men and women, who have got emotional in the sessions I've had with them, but then they've been embarrassed about being emotional. And yeah. People get very, very apologetic. You know, I'm so sorry that I was crying, that I was upset, whatever. As opposed to us accepting that emotionality is a normal part of the human experience.
Yeah.
You know, at what point did we start to say, you know, emotions are bad? And we've always had this in this country, big boys don't cry stuff. And certainly the guys that get upset get more embarrassed. I think that once they get to know me in a therapeutic setting, it becomes more acceptable for them and it kind of eases up a bit. I mean, after all, the therapist's friend is really a box of tissues. It's the thing that you always make sure you've got because you're going to need them.
Yeah.
You know. But
how long does it take for it when you're working with someone for them to really start opening up? And is it a couple of weeks, 3 weeks more?
Yeah, so probably about session three. You know, session two, they kind of are looking at you and maybe they're kind of doing a couple of tests on you. And some people will kind of raise things that are a bit kind of near the knuckle just to see how you cope with them, what response you have. And then if they're happy that you can cope with what they've got to dump, they'll just dump it on you then.
Yeah.
Once they know you're okay. Yeah.
Are you a blubber?
Yeah, I've always been a blubber.
A blubberer?
I'm the kind of dad that would take the kids to the movies and they go, oh, for God's sake, Dad, you're so embarrassing. You know, it's a cartoon. You're not supposed to be crying. But I've done that. You know.
I'm not at all, really, except, yeah, in certain films or stories that I'll see, there's certain things that'll get me. There's a bit in Up, the movie, the Pixar movie.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah.
Excuse me.
That had me blubbering.
A couple of bits in that, but the start... Yeah. Where it's telling the story of this couple as they grow older. And there's just one scene where you find out that they can't have children. And it's just done so beautifully. And the kind of camera's panning across. I think they're getting this nursery ready at first. And they're all happy and they're building their house. And then it just pans across to this doctor's surgery. And you just see her head go down and his hand go onto her shoulder. And that gets me every time, man. It's just so beautiful.
Yeah.
And I'm welling up a bit to him right now. So things like that get me, but nothing else in life, for some reason, gets me emotional. I haven't had to deal with much death in my life. Like, my parents are still going, my in-laws. I've lost a couple of grandparents, but that was a long time ago, actually. And I've got my two grandparents that are still alive in their 90s. So I haven't had to deal with much death in my life, which that will be a test of my emotional resilience.
I think that death or serious injury is always a tough one. And I find that for me, I have the ability to keep it together when I'm working on the issue. And usually it's afterwards where there's been loads of times where after I've dealt with some really difficult stuff, I've done what I've needed to do. And then on the way away from that, I've pulled into a lay-by and just had a good blub. and just needed to, you know. But I don't see anything wrong in crying and being emotional. I see it as simple as if your bladder was full, you'd go to the loo.
Yep.
Well, if your emotions are full, then it comes out of your eyes. And people that hold on to their urine end up with bladder problems. People that hold on to their tears of emotionality end up with other kinds of emotional problems that come out in the body as stress-related psychosomatic illness very often.
Yeah, I was going to say, so what are the effects of holding this stuff in within?
I guess the most important thing is that different kinds of tears have different constituents. I put a link in that you can go and have a look at that.
Salt? Different kinds of salt. Himalayan salty tears?
Himalayas. On the link I've put up, they show
Gizmodo.
They show microscope,
okay,
the tears, and you can see the difference. So tears of grief are different to tears of laughter and joy.
Blimey.
Yeah. And the assumption is we're the only animals that cry. And the assumption, as far as I can understand at the moment in neuropsychology, is that our brains have different levels of development. So we produce different hormones, some of which can be quite damaging to the body. And we use tears to excrete them.
Yeah.
So we're actually excreting negative hormones out of our tear ducts.
Blimey.
So which is the same as opening your bowels or opening your bladder. It's the same kind of stuff. We're expelling things that our body doesn't need.
Okay.
And if you hold them in, then that has a negative effect on your system. And we know that. Like on the link I've put up, it shows that that affects the vagus nerve, from the midbrain to the vagus nerve, which we know about. It's the limbic system. And then it can affect the whole of your bladder, your bowels, your intestines, everything can start to be affected because you're holding on to emotion. Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of people do this, right? I mean, myself included, probably.
I don't let
loose too much with the tears or with my emotions.
Yeah.
I can bottle things up as much as the next guy.
But the classic is, if you watch the film casts of a funeral nearer the equator, then people are whooping, wailing, they're renting their clothes, they're getting rid of that pent-up emotion. We dress in black, walk like penguins behind the box, and if someone shows too much emotion, it's like they've let the side down.
Yeah, I know. Well, I haven't been to that many funerals in my life, but I've been to enough to know that it'll be deathly silent in the room, and then you might hear someone to the side of you or, you know, kind of...
Yeah.
Desperately trying not to make too much noise as they sniffle and blubber away.
And depending on who that is, people are either going to feel sorry for them or they're going to think, oh, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Yeah. So people get embarrassed about being emotional.
Yeah. Which isn't too healthy, is it? And you do see celebrations at other funerals or like in South American countries, Day of the Dead stuff, where it's much more of a let it all out, man, let's just go crazy.
Yeah. But I've said it on this show before, is that when you saw Diana and she died and they panned along the crowds and people were beside themselves with grief, they may have had a connection with Diana, but what they were doing effectively was dumping their own pent-up emotion that they'd held for so long. And
for watching the Jerry McCall show?
Maybe even that, yeah. But Diana gave them the excuse to let it out. She gave them the reason, the trigger to let it go. Which is nothing wrong with that either. It's great. You know, let it go, let it out. And my thing always is, once people start crying in our society, we go, stop, have a cup of tea. And I'm saying, no, come on, let it out. You think that's crying? Come on, let it go. You know, get rid of it. Don't hold it.
I've got two little lads, obviously, and they do their fair share of crying. Jacob's the younger one, so he does more because William's already starting to... Well, he doesn't cry even like as stupid things like Jacob does. Like, you know, he's got to come in, it's bedtime, or, you know, he's eaten all the chips and there's no more left because we didn't cook enough. Like, he'll cry over stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can see as a parent that my instinct is to kind of, if one of my lads is crying, is to kind of get them to be quiet quickly. Like, probably because my own embarrassment, maybe if we're in public, it's like, be quiet. If it's over something silly. But is that when we start to suppress these emotions? We teach our kids to kind of keep it inside and just shut it down.
Yeah, obviously there's a balance here, isn't there? If you feed someone's emotions, you can teach them to become manic and hysterical in responses to things.
Yeah.
It's like allowing someone to be emotional, but then we're teaching them to balance it. So cardiovascular health is what happens when your heart rate hits its absolute maximum. How quickly does it come back to normal? And emotional health is when your emotions hit the high, either through sadness or anger, how quickly do they come back to normal?
Yeah.
And that's your emotional health. And I know lots of people that are quite emotional and may be seen as quite volatile, but do come down very quickly and would be seen generally as quite normal and placid.
Right. Yeah. Okay. How do we start to teach about emotional intelligence then? Let's say, you know, we've got, well, people my age, like in their mid-30s, into the like men in their 40s, actually, that's a really high-risk
area
for emotional like health or lack of emotional health because we bottle stuff up and loads of other reasons.
Yeah.
But how do we start to teach people technique? Are there techniques to kind of improve?
I do things like I run loads of programs, and anyone that's listening to this and that's been on any of my stuff will know this. But what I tend to do is every now and again through a program, especially if I see people are kind of having a bit of difficulty with what we're dealing with, I say, okay, stop. I want you to turn to the person next to you and tell them something good. And most people go into panic at this point because they can't think of anything good. And getting people used to the idea that it's okay to connect with your emotions and to share a feeling. And I'm saying something good because I'm trying to raise the mood. It may be that we're dealing with stuff that tells me something bad, you know, it may be the issue. But it's like it's okay to be emotional, it's okay to share, is something that big guys have a real problem with if they've been brought up by a dad, God bless you, who says, stop crying, stop it, stop it, stop it. So that they learn that sharing emotion is a bad thing.
Mm.
Yeah. It leads to disapproval. So they get embarrassed by it.
Okay.
Yeah. So getting people to learn it's okay to be emotional is something that takes a little bit of time, but it is okay. It does. You can get there. You've got to work with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Is this something we should be teaching in schools?
Now that people are starting to do more mindfulness, that's actually happening because people are allowed to be emotional, but they observe their emotion rather than running off with it.
Yeah, I mean, Mental Health Awareness Week, some of the stuff I've been seeing doing the rounds, and there's some programs on telly this week. We're getting better, aren't we, at this stuff, at talking about it at least, and allowing people to, well, at least encouraging people to let their emotions out. And I see posts on Facebook and stuff about people. I can't remember, there's one I saw a few weeks ago. It was a picture of a guy with tears streaming down his face. And I think it's a guy then subsequently had went on to commit suicide, actually. And the post underneath was about mental health awareness, and this chap was, you know, kept it all bottled up, you know, please go and talk to someone, etc., etc. So word's getting out, right? But are you seeing an impact?
No. I think that people keep saying things like that to me about we're getting better at it. And in some ways I could say, well, yeah, okay. Because more celebrity-type people are being more open about their feelings. Like there's a program on at the moment about celebrities talking about anxiety and depression and despair.
Yeah, I saw the advert for that.
Yeah, so people are kind of coming out of the woodwork more, which is good. But generally in society, I don't see significant changes or moves. So if you think about this, 50% of our population is female. And in some workforces in the NHS, the workforce is higher than 50% female. Now, most of those females at some time in the month are likely to have heightened emotions. That's not a sexist statement, it's a reality. And certainly during menopause, then there's going to be a change in emotional balances for some people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apart from temperature even. Now, some enlightened organisations have menopause policies. Some have menstruation policies where we can actually adapt with and work with people's emotional needs.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I don't see a significant change in that in the workplace. There are very few organisations that actually do that. Yeah, most organisations, it's tough, get on with it. Yeah, so in some ways, I think in terms of celebrity shows of emotion, so it can become fashionable to be depressed or to be stressed or whatever. I get that. But in a real sense, in an everyday sense for every person, it's a bit like in an organisation. If somebody dies, then you can have special leave as a grief. Yeah, but you can only do that if it's a parent or a sibling or someone very close. I've even had people who have lost a grandparent who's been very close have been told they can't even have a couple of days off
to deal with it. Because it's not close enough, and like, they're old, come on.
Yeah, those kind of attitudes. And it's the issue of people are individuals. They need to be managed individually, not just with a bland policy. But I'm not sure that we are getting that much better at it. I think we're better at talking about it. I don't know that we're that much better at actually dealing with it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's like the Jeremy Kyle thing again, isn't it? You can take the show off air, but there's still a demand in society for crazy things. And that demand will be met elsewhere, you know, maybe by people will buy more magazines or read more tabloid newspapers, etc. I guess with issues of emotional deficiency, like intelligence deficiency, you know, also obviously, if you've lost a loved one, people are still going to die. So, like for the foreseeable future, so that's something we need to get better at, maybe.
Yeah.
But if people are stressed and emotional and are bottling things up for other reasons, like stress at work, just being able to talk about that doesn't fix the underlying issue of the stress at work, does it?
But sometimes you can't change the situation at work, but you can process the information. So say your boss is someone who you really want to punch, but you can't, because you can't do that in the workplace and keep a job. So you have to...
you'll lose your job.
Yeah. But you can smile and go, yeah, okay, all right. But when you go home or you go somewhere else, you need to have some way of venting. What tends to happen is people get upset in the workplace. They go home and either take it out on their family or they pop a cork and get pissed, you know, which isn't... I mean, I reckon that well over 70% of public sector workers go home and have a wee drink just to take the edge off the day, you know. So I think that we got better at talking about it, but we're not that good at dealing with it.
Yeah, and fixing the underlying issues.
No. And I think if we do teach mindfulness in schools, I think that's good. I think that celebrities bearing their soul is okay, as long as it doesn't... You don't have to be a celebrity to bear your soul.
Something
which is okay for everybody to do and feel.
Yeah, it's all right for them, and they can afford a swanky...
Yeah.
90 quid an hour psychotherapist or whatever.
90 quid?
London prices.
No. London prices, we're talking about 250 an hour.
Oh, right, excuse moi. Sorry, I've just done you a big decision.
Start to get real now. I know people that do pay those fees and people that do charge those fees in places like London. Yeah,
yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, you don't have to tell. Sliding scale and all that stuff. So what... What's the conclusion of this one? How do we start ourselves and with other people that we know, that we live with, that maybe need a bit of help? Where do we refer them to?
I think that the first...
A mirror.
Mirrors can help, yeah. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Yep. But the issue is, be honest with yourself. And it's like when someone says to you, how are you? Don't say I'm fine when you're not. F-I-N-E, effing insincere, no emotion. It doesn't share anything.
Okay, that's an interesting one. So maybe we should ban the use of fine or...
Well, I have words that are banned in my consulting room. Ought, should, must, can't. And certainly when fine comes up, I always highlight it. You know, so, okay.
An alarm goes off.
You're fine, yeah. So how are you really feeling? I'm okay. Okay, so what does okay mean? You know, what's the sound behind the word? And if you say to somebody, how are you... And they tell you, actually listen to what they're saying.
Yeah.
Don't use how are you as hello. If you say how are you and you open the box, listen to what's in the box.
Yeah. I think when people ask me, how are you doing, my responses generally will be top notch if I'm actually feeling really good. I'm just thinking about off the top of my head here. Like yesterday someone at school asked me, and I was feeling pretty rotten, how are you doing, Ed? And I said, not bad. So if I say not, if you ask me how I am out there, if anyone asks me how I am and I say not bad, it means I'm really, really terrible and you should probably give me a hug.
But the thing is, when some people say not bad, they mean they feel good.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like we're now talking different languages, which is the issue about we actually have to take the time to listen to what someone's saying, which might not be the words, it might be the sound behind the words that we're listening to.
Yeah.
Because if someone says to you, you say, how are you doing? They go, I'm fine. As opposed to someone says, yeah, I'm fine, I'm all right.
Pretty good. Not bad, I guess.
Yeah.
Could be better.
Yeah, you know, it's like you've got to listen, yeah? Yeah. Watch the body language. You know, what's going on.
Yeah, well, I meant to bring that up earlier on. Emotions that we carry inside us can manifest physically, can't they? The shape of people and the way they hold their bodies and stuff like that.
Yeah, the classic is the chest. Someone who's feeling good has their chest out. And someone who's feeling bad has their chest in, so they have a concave chest and a hunchback.
Yeah. And that over many, many years kind of...
Can you get stuck like it, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you can watch with. The other thing is Sanpaku eyes. Do you know what I mean by that?
No, not at all.
No. Anybody that's listening to this, if you just Google Sanpaku eyes, you can see what I mean. If the white is underneath the iris is showing, then the person's depressed. If the white above the eye is showing, then the person's manic.
Blimey.
And you can watch the iris going up and down. So if I'm working with somebody and we hit something which is depressive for them, their eye will just roll up slightly and you can see the white underneath the iris.
Blimey.
And then as they tune back into something positive, the eye will come back down again. And you can watch it moving. But some people, if they're really depressed, then the iris is up and you can see the white underneath.
So you can see the whites of someone's eye underneath. That's not a good sign, generally.
No.
Eyes. Wow, yeah. Flip the neck, all right.
Yeah, and it's something that... I should do it.
It's all Sanpaku, all one word.
Sanpaku eyes. And
it's got Wikipedia entry, so it must be true.
Yeah, okay. So we have...
JFK.
What I could do is, if I just do... Sound.
So is this stuff you're looking for all the time? Like,
yeah, I'm doing it. Right, look at that.
Diana, Princess Diana.
Can you see the way the white's under the eyes?
Yeah.
That is really depressed. If I take you to the images, manic. Manic? Get depressed.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, do you get it?
Charles Manson, is it? Yeah.
Manic, yeah. Hitler.
Depressed, yeah. What was going on inside that noggin, man? Yeah.
Yeah. Hillary Clinton, you know, but you can see it. But if you watch someone's eyes, they move up and down.
I'm just looking at your like a barometer. Tiny bit at the bottom of yours.
That's because I'm with you. I'm so depressed.
Let it all out, Sean. Yeah, just a little slither. Not Hitler levels of whites underneath, but not far off.
Yeah.
Flip the neck. All right, I'm going to look that up. That's really fascinating.
Yeah.
Have you got a resource for us?
Well, the resource that I've put in is it's the Gizmodo. Article which shows you the pictures of the microscopic images of different tears and how they change. It's fascinating to look at. Yeah.
Right.
So they even show you tears. You know when you cry in response to an onion?
Yeah.
They show you those tears of grief, happiness, sadness, all that kind of stuff. It's really good.
Brilliant. Mine is, well, jokingly, but not really actually, Jeremy Kyle show highlights. Get on YouTube while you still can and study the show and like not just like what's going on, but as in the people on stage, but study Jeremy Kyle himself and the techniques he was using to get basically to, you know, he wants as many people to watch as possible, and it was quite effective. So I'm trying to think about why it was so addictive to.
And I guess the question is, what's it all about? What's actually going on? What's the sound behind what you can see? It's all that stuff. That's the fascination to me.
Yeah. And there's a movie called Inside Out, a Pixar movie, which is all about emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
But it's set inside the girl of it's inside the head of a teenage girl with her emotions as the characters, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotta see it.
Oh, no, I've seen that, yes, I have.
It's like anger and grief and all that stuff. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Very impressive. Right, we're back next week. Remind us, we're going to talk about body image.
And we've got Tanya.
And hopefully, I'll see if she's clear to come and have a chat with
us. That's good.
And take it easy, guys.
See you next week.
See ya.
Bye.